Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the January 1st edition of the County Chronicle. Happy New Year. We'll start with the first page stories. Arthur School Board, no to new referendum record donation amount by Arianna Cherry. The December meeting of the Arthur CUSD No. 305 Board of Education was marked by continued discussion on the referendum that had recently failed to pass. Community member Jeremy Hale voiced his disappointment at the outcome, emphasizing the community's division and the urgent need to prioritize the children's education in future. "I'm here to help, and I want success for us," Hale began. "I've heard a lot of good and bad things here about the school. I'm disappointed that not everyone is on the same page in this community. I don't feel that everyone is putting our kids first," he continued. "I feel good about the growth of the referendum from the first and second time. I feel there's still potential yes votes out there about the referendum and those who still haven't been informed enough yet," Hale went on. "We should all be on the same page when it comes to our kids. We shouldn't be focusing on the building. All the other towns, Tuscola, Sullivan, etc., are moving forward. We are stagnant and our kids are stagnant. We've got to improve, rebuild, and we have to make it better for our kids and our future," he concluded. Even after a lengthy meeting and discussion last month, the outcome of the referendum was still fresh on everyone's mind of those sitting on the Board of Education. Board members grappled with the possibility of reintroducing the referendum in April. They had several questions and concerns with the idea. What if people vote no again? And what if the district gets negative feedback from the people because we are bringing it up again? Time factor was also a concern at the board table. If you use a referendum, you'll have to wait 3 months and then the issue of whether the people will vote for it or not. Superintendent Shannon Cheek brought up the opportunity using the health, life, and safety bond for a complete rebuild, which had been introduced at last month's meeting. Health, life, and safety involves Illinois State Board of Education, ISBE, Regional Office of Education, ROE, and the school's architect. An analysis of the building is done, and then the information is presented to ISBE in forms of replacing the building. If the plan is approved, the ISBE deems that the building falls underneath those qualifications, then the school has an opportunity to do replacement, replacing the entire building, what they deem to be falling within the scope. A school can replace but not add any additional square footage. For example, a new gym could not be added into the rebuild. While board members shifted through the options of health, life, and safety, a concerning question arose during the discussion as well. Where would students be during the remodeling or rebuild, and where would they be taught for up to a year and a half? While there weren't complete answers to these questions, some ideas were brought up were that they could be temporarily building brought in that would act as a classroom, but there were concerns about the high school students' learning experience. After some discussion and a few bouts of thoughtful silence among the board members, Superintendent Cheek assured them by stating, "Tonight you are all voting on is whether you're putting the referendum back on the ballot. We don't have to make a decision on health, life, and safety or how to remodel, rebuild, is going to be done. After Cheek's statement, board member Ryan Nettles made the following motion. "I vote that we add the referendum back to the April 2025 ballot." The remainder of the board members voted against Nettles' motion. Therefore, it will not appear on the April ballot, and the board will pursue other options, including health, life, and safety bond. During a public hearing for the tax levy, Cheek stated that it had not changed and was not any different from last year's presentation. "Last year, the levy was 3.42%. This year, it has changed to 3.48%, he said. Later in the meeting, the 3.48% tax levy was approved. Other items that were discussed and voted upon included the district received a record-breaking 10 donations totaling $33,000. Cheek stated it was the largest donation month he had seen since becoming superintendent, and those donations included donation 1, CUSD Sports Boosters, $4,250 to assist in purchasing shot clocks in the gym. Donation number 2, CUSD Sports Boosters, $5,000 to assist in purchasing uniforms for junior high and high school teams. Junior high baseball, high school girls and boys basketball, soccer, and football. Donation number 3, Kirby Medical Center, $250 for books in the vending machine. Donation number 4, Sarah Bush Lincoln, $880 for sports physical program, athletic department. Donation number 5, Charleston Elk Lodge, number 623, $222 for hygiene products. Donation number 6, Day of Giving, Tuesday, anonymous donor, $20,000. $1,000 each for Austin Romine, Morgan Wendt, Nathan Seal, Faith Rund, $10,000 to the weight room, $6,000 to the principal's convenience fund. Donation number 7, Master Brand Cabinets donation of fruit, $1,500. Donation number 8, Patrick Durgan, $1,000 High School Council toy drive. Donation number 9, Premier Wood Products out of Arcola, $300 Student of the Month breakfasts. Donation number 10, Miller Bus Service, $250 for Student of the Month breakfast. The first reading of Press Policy 117, Facilities Management and Building Programs, was shared. 2024 District Audit was approved. November 2024 Treasurer's Report was approved. Bank statement was $4,996,000, beginning balance of the Education Fund at $2,816,000, Building Fund $692,000, and the Transportation Fund was $205,000. Superintendent Cheek gave some faculty facility updates that included a water main leak at the high school and plumbing issues at the Atwood Hammond Grade School. He also shared that there could be potential future issue with the air handler in the new gym and referenced a meeting with Damien in the near future about where the district was in preventative work for the roof. Cheek shared his appreciation and support for Nathan Seal, assistant principal, who had quick thinking, bravery, and courage to act during a school event where he was involved in helping save an individual's life. That person had little or no pulse, and he acted quickly to administer supported CPR, and an ambulance was called. He also commended the teachers and support staff for a great first semester and the administrative team as well. Cheek also thanked the Yes Committee for their continued dialogue and passion for change. The personnel report, certified. Hired Jennifer Ingram as Title I teacher. Hired Ryan Jefferson as the PE teacher at Arthur Grade School. Accepted resignation for Jennifer Ingram as third grade teacher at Lovington Grade School. Accepted resignation from Stacy Goodman as the science teacher at Arthur Grade School. Accepted resignation from Jose Gobo as the music teacher at Atwood Hammond Grade School. And non-certified, hired Tiffany Reedy as administrative assistant at Lovington Grade School. Accepted resignation from Tiffany Reedy as Title I aide at Lovington Grade School. Extracurricular, accepted letter of resignation from Stacy Goodman as the ECO team member for Arthur Grade School. The next article, Tuscola City Council, Newman's Car Show Coming to Tuscola by David Porter. The Tuscola City Council gave informal approval for a car show June 14th at Irvin Park. Jeff Luth of Newman said the show has been in the cities for the past 2 years with Newman's Freedom Celebration. He said the car show brought several hundred people to town, but there had been squabbles about it taking too much space on the square. He said he doesn't want to change the date because publicity for the date is already in place and other dates would compete with other car shows in the area. Tuscola would be a nice place to have it, he said. There's plenty of room at the park, which has hosted other car shows. He also asked about the availability of the outlet mall parking lot. He said the only downside to using the park is that the cars would have to park on the grass, which could be a problem if it rained. Luth also asked about having a local band playing in the pavilion during the show. I think that would be great, Mayor Dan Kleiss said. Luth assured the council that the group has $2 million liability insurance policy and would make sure they left the grounds cleaned up when they were done. In other business, the council approved an update to its solar energy ordinance. Mike Salmon, building and electrical inspector, said the updates are in regard to battery storage. Solar batteries are flammable and can explode. He said we don't want them in kitchens, bedrooms, or crawl spaces. He added that a house would have to have a pretty big system to get into this code. A community building rental with alcohol was approved at Wild Turkey Federation banquet on January 25th. Mayor Kleiss also gave a shout-out to Kate Fultz for her participation in the Foot Locker National Cross-Country Race in California, noting that it's good publicity for Tuscola. The next article is the Villa Grove City Council. Darling hired as patrol officer. Chief Cole Tibbetts reported that his officers had made a triple drug arrest after a traffic stop, as well as a DUI stop and an arrest after serving a warrant. Finally, he noted that Hunter Darling had been hired as a new patrol officer and was beginning as PTI as soon as possible. The council heard Administrator Jacqueline Athey noting that she had spent amount of time writing two ordinances which were to be reviewed and voted upon. She also noted that she had provided oversight for the special payroll run for employees. Public Works Director Mark McSell then reported that all city portable barricades had been outfitted with new reflectors and the picnic table reconstruction was ongoing. He also commented that salt dispersing equipment had functioned properly during the recent winter weather. He then stated that the new generator for the City Hall Public Works Zest for Life Center complex had arrived and would be installed as soon as weather allows. Mayor Cassandra Ebersole-Gunter noted that when completed, all city buildings will now have generators in case of prolonged power outages. Finally, McSell stated that the back door to the Zest for Life Center had been replaced and he had received a substantially lower quote for the weed removal from the John Leon Reservoir. Moving on to new business, the council unanimously approved Ordinance 2024-MC-17, which regulates the placement of large commercial storage containers. The ordinance allows for temporary use of shipping containers at private residences as long as temporary user permits are obtained from the city. Permanent placement will be allowed only in commercial, manufacturing, or industrial districts, and only, and containers are not to be used as living space under any circumstances. The council then unanimously approved Ordinance 2024 MC20, which levies taxes in the amount of $479,000 for the City of Villa Grove. Finally, the council granted approval for a routine maintenance request for the city backhoe, which will cost about $2,500. The council then moved to a closed session for a discussion of personnel issues at 6:24 p.m., emerging from closed session at 6:29 p.m. Finding no further business, the council then adjourned at that time. Tax levy disbursement, section 2, that the property tax levy type and per state of Illinois compiled. The state statute authority reference and amount levied for each type is detailed herewith. Follows to wit, general corporate 65 ALCS 5831, salaries, repairs, and maintenance $75,000, municipal retirement fund, pension funding $62,000, fire protection, salaries, repairs, and maintenance $23,000. Police protection, salaries, repairs, and maintenance, $23,000. Garbage disposal, community cleanup, and debris removal, $600. Municipal auditing, audit expenses, $35,000. Tort, judgment, liability, and property insurance. Insurance expenses, $59,000. Street and bridge, repairs and maintenance, $30,000. Street lighting, expenses, $16,000. Playground and recreation, salaries, repairs, and maintenance, $27,500. Social Security, Federal Social Security Program, $71,000. Unemployment insurance, state unemployment insurance at $15,000. Workman's compensation and occupational disease claims, $23,000. Medicare program, $16,800. And we'll continue with the article, The Year in Review by Ben Crane, continued from last week. As 2024 ends, the County Chronicle reflects on the most memorable news of the year, starting with July through November this week. July 3rd, Maddox Reedy of Tuscola took home multiple top three finishes in the 2024 National Junior Short Honeshore and Youth Conference in Timonium, Maryland. Buck's Pub and Arthur Warren Pub in Tuscola and Main Street Lounge in Arcola opened their doors. July 10th, the Village of Metcalfe celebrates its sesquicentennial or 150th birthday with an all-you-can-eat fish fry. July 17th, the TIF dilemma in Arcola kicks off with a city proposal to expand TIF district in the city. Since then, through multiple meetings and hearings, the city, township, and city district have decided to prioritize making all parties happy. The story is ongoing. Becca Bloom of Villa Grove was crowned Junior Miss of America in Las Vegas, Nevada. July 31st, former Tuscola High School and University of Illinois baseball player Logan Tabling signed with the Los Angeles Dodgers and now plays in their farm system. Illinois American Water holds a hearing in Champaign to discuss their proposed rate increase, citing water and wastewater infrastructure improvements. The rate increase will go into effect in the new year. August 7th, Flesser's Candy Kitchen receives $30,000 grant from People's Bank to assist with their renovation in downtown Tuscola. Tuscola's Lenny Cementi, who coached Tuscola High School softball for 23 years, accepted the head coaching job at Parkland College. August 14th, Christopher Davis, a Lovington grade school teacher, is arrested and faces five charges to carry a maximum sentence of 120 years in prison. His trial is still ongoing. Tuscola High School Stage 301 opens its doors in a public event. August 28th, Tuscola High School reboots its industrial arts program. A cattle hauler crashed on Interstate 57 with at least a dozen cattle getting loose. Illinois State Police, cowboys, and search dogs combed the sprawling fields of Douglas County in search of the missing cows. September 4th, Villa Grove City Council approves the purchase of a fire engine. Arcola, Arthur, Tuscola, and Villa Grove all begin their football seasons. September 11th, Union Pacific's Big Boy number 4014 stops in Villa Grove overnight before traveling through Tuscola and Arthur. Tuscola police officer Dalton Donalds resigns after the department paid out a $34,000 lawsuit in August. September 18th, Ainsley Heilick repaints the Coca-Cola mural on the side of Flessner's Candy Kitchen to its historic accuracy in Tuscola. September 25th, Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond wins the inaugural Lincoln Prairie Conference bass fishing title. Arthur Police Chief Mike Goodman retires after 30 years of service. October 2nd, Arcola ALAH Knight Riders win their sixth straight boys LPC title. A generous customer gives Rest and Pizza and Arthur a $5,000 loan, saving the business. October 9th, three Tuscola residences have fires in a 10-day span. Arcola High School celebrates Terry Miller Day at their football game, featuring representatives from the University of Illinois and Arizona Cardinals in celebration of Miller's athletic achievements. October 16th, ALAH Girls Cross Country win their second back-to-back LPC championships. Douglas County Animal Shelter Administrator Spencer Hall was suspended and later fired after a ruling handed down from Judge Kate Watson forced Hall to give up dogs to an alleged animal abuser, Luther Clark. October 23rd, the Tuscola Boys Cross Country Team won the Central Illinois Championship. October 30th, the Tuscola and ALAH football teams competed in Round 1 of the IHSA State Football Playoffs. The Arthur School District sought out a $24.6 million bond to renovate the high school. The referendum vote failed. Dave Hornaday and Javier Niamatu finished 1-2 in their cross-country regionals. November 6th, the Great Pumpkin Patch sets up a cucurbit display outside of Memorial Stadium in Champaign. November 13th, elections were held across the county. Tuscola's Kate Foles won IHSA Class 1A Cross-Country State Championship. November 20th, Tanner Thomas of Arcola signs his letter of intent with the University of Louisville to play baseball. November 27th, the Tuscola Odd Fellows Lodge hosted the Odd Market at the Tuscola Community Center. December 4th, a Christmas holiday was in full swing. Villa Grove held its annual tree lighting ceremony and Tuscola launched a window painting scavenger hunt. The Arthur School District set its annual levy and addressed the state's report card. The school board also discussed at length options following its failed building referendum. Tuscola's cross-country state champion, Kate Foltz, placed 9th in the Foot Locker cross-country regional meet in Kenosha, Wisconsin. December 11th, Tuscola's breakfast place opens its door for business. Bourbon Township Republicans held a caucus and slated Pete Conlon for road commissioner over longtime commissioner Steve Helton. Arcola held its annual Jingle Jog Race. Tuscola, Arcola, Newman, and Arthur Christmas celebrations were featured in the newspaper. Historian Carolyn Cloyd gave a presentation in Arthur on the women's suffrage movement. A water rate increase was approved for Illinois American Water, which provides water for about half of the residents in Douglas County. December 18th, Villa Grove's 8th grade girls celebrated their second back-to-back sectional win. Tuscola North Ward 1st and 2nd graders held their annual musical skit. The Pantry in Tuscola announced it would soon be closing Christmas Eve after 13 years in business. Kate Foltz finished 16th nationally in the Foot Locker race, national race in San Diego, California. ALAH High School and Junior High held its annual Christmas concerts. On December 25th, the Douglas County Board approved a property assessment plan paving the way for $600 million investment by a Chinese-owned company to build a wet milling plant on the Foreman Lyondell-Bissell site west of Tuscola. We'll move now to the obituaries. Ruth Ann Edwards, 87, of Arcola, passed away at 1:30 p.m. on Tuesday, December 24, 2024, at the Haven of Arcola. Funeral services were held Sunday, December 29th, at the Edwards Funeral Home, Arcola. Burial was in the Arcola Cemetery. Patricia Pat Hines, 90, of Charleston, passed away at 4:47 p.m. on Friday, December 20th, 2024, at Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center in Mattoon. Private graveside services were held on Monday, December 30th, in the Ambaras Cemetery in rural Redmond. The Edwards Funeral Home assisted with arrangements. Eric D. Hastings, 61, of Tuscola, passed away on Friday, December 27, 2024, at his residence. Private family services will be held. Donald Dean Dipper, 96, of Decatur, passed away at 8:40 a.m. Monday, December 22, 2024, in Primrose Retirement Community of Decatur. A service to honor Don's life was held Saturday, December 28th, in St. Paul's Lutheran Church. Interment was in Harristown Township Cemetery, Calvert and Wyckoff Funeral Home, Mount Zion, assisted with the family services. Memorials were made to St. Paul's Lutheran Church or the Meridian High School FFA. William H. Bill Schweighart, 65, of Tuscola, passed away peacefully on Sunday morning, December 22, 2024, at his residence. Visitation was held Friday, December 27th, at the Hilligoss Schrader Funeral Home, Tuscola, with funeral services following with Pastor Brian Byers, Pastor Brandon Lowry, and Tuscola Fire Department Chaplain Joseph Carter officiating. Military rites for the U.S. Marine Corps veteran were held following the service at the funeral home. A fire department walkthrough was held Friday at the funeral home. The next article, Outrage Follows After Vandals String Up Santa in Chesterville, by Ben Crane. The night before Christmas is normally an uneventful one as families go to sleep after a day of celebration with close friends and family. However, for Chris Key and his family, they woke up to an unexpected nightmare on December 26th. Someone hung Santa last night. Whoever's responsible, I challenge you, and who else is responsible for this, to meet me face to face and explain why, Key wrote on Facebook, along with photos of the effigy hanging just outside of Joe's Country Diner. Santa was originally situated in the driver's seat in an old Ford pickup truck with a Christmas tree in the bed parked outside the restaurant near where Keyes lives. There was an outcry of Chris's comments on his post. Oh my gosh, I love the holiday happiness and the truck being decorated. Brought just crazy, wrote another commentator. I was on my way home to Arcola from my mama's last night in Arthur around 10:30 p.m., and there were several males, about four, standing together right there at that exact area, another commenter wrote. They weren't walking. I thought it was weird. Looked like just hanging out there at the side of the road, up to no good. Elliot, Chris's son, said they still did not know who was responsible for the hanging and suspect it was a group of people who did it. The next article, Haircuts for the Holidays by Marty Yackel. For the third year in a row, Arthur CUSD number 305 offered holiday haircuts on Monday, December 16th to students in the district. The program was the brainchild of PE teacher, coach Mitch Wilson, who stated that when he brought up the idea a few years ago, he was pleased that the administration was supportive. Coach Wilson also noted that without the National Honor Society jumping on board to help in securing stylists, providing treats, and registering those interested in haircuts, this event could not have happened. This year, local stylists serve 31 members of the school district. Those stylists are Jordan Haverman, Burt's Barbershop, Sullivan, Laura Hirschberger, Genesis Salon Sullivan, Carissa Rock and Aaron Timble, Robin's Hair Salon in Charleston, and Kendra Watkins of Arthur. Also helping NHS were Coach Wilson, April Hart, guidance counselor and NHS sponsor Stephanie Siegmiller, ALAH principal, and all of the hairstylists that made it a special night. The next article, Elevating Travel Planning to an Art Form by Ben Crane. Gigi Henderson, a seasoned travel agent, shared her insights and expertise, shedding light on her unique approach to crafting personalized travel experiences. Discussing a recent trip she planned and attended, Oktoberfest in Munich, Henderson emphasized the community involvement as there were multiple local residents who attended. Elaborating on the diverse travel offerings, Henderson explained the appeal of a European river cruise, which was one leg of the trip that takes you inside small towns and you can really feel the culture, you eat the food, and you rub elbows with the locals. It's a very, very unique travel style that honestly I recommend. She also highlighted her ability to customize trips, saying, I will build a trip from scratch. If people tell me where they want to go, how many days they want to be gone, and what their highlights in their mind are, I'll build something from scratch for them, or if they just want to be part of the tour. Henderson's dedication to her clients was evident as she discussed the importance of building strong relationships, saying, they know me personally. It's just a testament to the growth of what I'm going to do. So when people want to travel, they have to shop for the partner and they think that is best for them. They have to interview them. She emphasized the need for clients to work with certified professionals, stating, I would not recommend making sure they're certified, making sure they have solid terms and agreements, making sure that the client really understands what's going to happen in various scenarios in travel, because bumps can happen. Henderson's passion for her work shone as she shared her personal hit journey, recounting her background in nursing and pharmaceutical sales and how these experiences prepared her for the intricacies of travel planning. Being a woman, being a mom, being a nurse, all of that has prepared me perfectly for what I do. Right now, I don't think I could be any more well prepared, she said. Henderson's expertise, personalized approach, and unwavering commitment to her clients have earned her reputation as a trusted partner in the travel industry. By elevating travel planning to an art form, she ensures that her clients embark on truly remarkable journeys. The next article, nearly 300 new Illinois laws take effect in 2025. They include digital driver's licenses, salary transparency, and health insurance changes by Ben Zielinski, Capital News, Illinois. Time to study up, Illinois. When the clock hits midnight on New Year's Day, 293 new state laws will take effect. These include some of the defining bills of the 2024 legislative session and others that will change how people get IDs, evaluate job postings, and even cancel gym memberships. In addition to the laws taking effect on January 1st, the state's minimum wage will rise to $15 to complete a ramp-up initiated during Governor J.B. Pritzker's first month in office in 2019. Digital driver's licenses. The Secretary of State has begun creating a process to use digital driver's licenses and state IDs beginning in the new year after Pritzker signed House Bill 4592. Residents will still be required to receive a physical ID, and agencies or private entities will not be required to accept digital IDs in place of physical IDs. Providing a phone to police to show a digital ID also doesn't give the police consent to search a person's cell phone. Salary transparency. Employees with 15 or more employees must include information about benefits and salary range on job postings, according to House Bill 3129. The law also applies to businesses hiring for remote work positions in Illinois. When employers aren't transparent about pay, gender, and racial wage gaps widened, costing women and people of color valuable compensation, Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton said in a news release. Illinois' new pay transparency law is a resounding win for the working people who call this state their state a home. Junk insurance, health insurance. Short-term, limited-duration health insurance plans will be illegal in Illinois beginning January 1st. The plans, often called junk insurance by critics, do not meet the minimum standards of the Federal Affordable Care Act. The ban outlined in House Bill 2499 was part of Pritzker's health insurance overhaul that lawmakers passed in the spring. It was aimed at reducing barriers to care for patients and making health care more affordable by expanding coverage requirements for insurance companies. Short-term insurance plans are typically for people who have a lapse in health insurance coverage, such as when they change or lose jobs, but they're different from COBRA benefits, which most employers are required to offer under federal law. Supporters of the bill argued that the plans are deceptive and stick consumers with huge out-of-pocket costs, but others said the plans provide consumers with an affordable option to fill a gap in coverage. Caregiver discrimination. House Bill 2161 adds family responsibilities to the list of categories protected from discrimination and retaliation in the workplace. The new law prevents employers from taking adverse action against employees because of their responsibilities as a caregiver for a family member, which could cause them to miss work. Bill sponsor Representative Will Guzzardi, Democrat of Chicago, told the House committee in April that pregnant women are a good example of who the bill is designed to help. He said pregnant women shouldn't be passed up for promotion or face other consequences at work in anticipation they'll be taking time off to care for their baby. Guzzardi stressed the bill does not protect employees who fail to meet job performance requirements. AI regulations. New laws governing artificial intelligence take effect on January 1st. It will be illegal to generate child pornography using AI, according to House Bill 4623. Supporters of the bill, including Illinois Attorney General's office, said it's becoming more difficult to distinguish between real and AI-generated images. They said updating Illinois' child pornography laws was a necessary step to allow law enforcement to identify and prosecute child pornography cases. House Bill 4875 also adds new protection to prohibit using AI to recreate a person's voice, image, or likeness for commercial purposes without that person's consent. Recording artists can seek damages for violations of the law. Politics and religion at work. Employees can't be required to sit through work meetings discussing religious or politics starting January 1st. Senate Bill 3649, an initiative of the Illinois AFL-CIO, creates new protections for employees who skip out on such meetings and prevents employers from retaliating against them. The law does not prohibit discussing religion or politics at work, but employees are not required to participate in the discussions if such activities are not part of their job. The law excludes nonprofit and advocacy groups where politics or religion may be part of the job. Coming later in 2025, Pritzker's signature healthcare reform packages goes into effect on January 1st, but most provisions don't have to be implemented until the beginning of 2026. House Bill 5395 bans step therapy, which requires patients to try and fail treatment preferred by an insurance company before they can receive the treatment recommended by their doctor. It also bans insurance companies from requiring prior authorization for emergency inpatient mental health treatments, requires insurers to keep up-to-date lists of in-network providers, and expands the power of the Illinois Department of Insurance to regulate premium rates. Many hotels in Illinois will no longer be allowed to provide customers with single-use plastic soap and shampoo beginning July 1st under Senate Bill 2960. The move is designed to cut down on waste from single-use products. The Illinois Hotel and Lodging Association supported the change. Hotels with fewer than 50 rooms have until 2026 to make the change. And that's all we have time for this week. This is Chris Yerke saying goodbye and see you again next week.